good to be here on this nice day and the day that God ordained for us to be together. And appreciate seeing everyone. And if you'll turn over to Psalm 11, what time is lunch? I want to make sure I don't go too long. Oh, okay, all right. So, I'm usually not long-winded, so you shouldn't die of starvation. So. Psalm 11, let's just go ahead and read the psalm. It's only seven verses, and then take some time to go through it a little bit. But in the Lord I take refuge. How then can you say to me, flee like a bird to your mountain? For look, the wicked bend their bows. They set their arrows against the strings to shoot from the shadows at the upright in heart. When the foundations are being destroyed, what can the righteous do? The Lord is in his holy temple. The Lord is on his heavenly throne. He observes the sons of men. His eyes examine them. The Lord examines the righteous, but the wicked and those who love violence, his soul hates. On the wicked he will rain fiery coals and burning sulfur. A scorching wind will be their lot. For the Lord is righteous. He loves justice. The upright men will see his face. And, Brian was mentioning about David and fleeing from Absalom, and we don't know exactly when David wrote this psalm. May have been a situation like that, but we're not exactly sure. But he's getting this counsel from people. They're saying, you know, you got troubles right now. Let's get out of here. Let's go up to the mountain. Let's get away. When the foundations are being shaken, you know, when they're all being challenged, when they're all being destroyed, you know, we need to go. What are we going to do otherwise? And he tells them to fly like a bird. And, we think about that verse, and the focus is mostly on the verse 3, when the foundations are being destroyed, what can the righteous do? You know, we think about foundations, and, being in the construction business myself, you know, we understand, anybody that's done anything with a building understands about foundations. That's the basic, that's the most important part of the building. That has to be right. It has to be good. It has to be true. It has to be solid. It cannot be something anything less than that, or else you'll have problems with the building. And we understand that. The Bible talks about foundations, talks about, the earth being on foundations. God created it that way. It's made a certain way. So it's, it's solid. It's here. It's, it's exactly what he wanted. We have spiritual foundations. If you turn over, let's turn over this real quick to look at 1 Corinthians 3. 1 Corinthians 3. We're reading the starting verse 10. The Bible talks in the New Testament about this spiritual foundation. And he says, verse 10, by the grace God has given me, I laid a foundation as an expert builder, and someone else is building on it. But each one should be careful how he builds. For no one can lay any foundation other than the one already laid, which is Jesus Christ. If any man builds on this foundation using gold, silver, costly stones, wood, hay, or straw, his work will be shown for what it is, because the day will bring it to light. It will be revealed with fire, and the fire will test the quality of each man's work. If what he has built survives, he will receive his reward. If it is burned up, he will suffer loss. He himself will be saved, but only as one escaping through the flames. So there's a spiritual foundation too, which is Jesus Christ. We know that. Most of us have made that decision to follow Christ, to accept Christ as our personal Savior. We know that's the basis of our faith. That's where it begins. Now, as David speaking of those foundations in this passage in Psalm 11, I think he's probably speaking more about his nation, his kingdom, his civic government there in Israel. And he's speaking about its foundations. Of course, it was obviously founded on biblical principles. It was founded by God, under God's law, under God's authority. And, it was a good foundation. And now it was being messed with. It was being destroyed. Something was happening to this foundation that David had king over this time in which he was king of Israel. So this foundation's being shaken. And he's being counseled to just get away. And, you know, we see that with that story in Absalom, even though he did end up fleeing, but he's being told here to flee. We think it's that. Maybe it was something more personal. You know, maybe it was a time when David was being threatened, maybe possibly by Saul, something of that sort. You know, there was times when friends of David became traitors. You know, it's like it says they were standing in the shadows with arrows, waiting to shoot him, ready to get rid of him. And, you know, things that he counted on were failing. And so, again, we're not sure of the situation. But, you know, I'd like to think, you know, as we bring this forward a little bit today, you know, it seems, I think all of us would agree, that in our country, in the United States, it seems like the foundations are being shaken. Obviously, this nation was built by men. It's not a nation such as Israel, where it was, you know, ordained by God in a real special sense, but it definitely, I think, had foundations in men who were under the influence of God, under God's hand. You know, as the scriptures tell us, all nations really are, you know, they're under God's authority. In Romans 13, it talks about that. There's no, you know, there's your nation has to be ordained by God to even exist. So God allows it. And I think this God has been uniquely blessed. And it was built on a good foundation. It was based on God's laws, on biblical foundations, biblical principles. And, you know, we think about, again, you know, the buildings can last a long time. This nation has lasted over 200 years as of now. And I don't want to be a messenger of doom and gloom, but, you know, it's, you know, I think it's something that we're all probably thinking about. It's something that's, you know, in the news almost every day, and we see things just constantly in the news that continue to say, oh, how can that happen? How can that happen? How can that happen? And but, you know, things can last for a certain time. You know, buildings are that way. You know, if a building is built on a good foundation, it's going to last a long time. You know, I've worked in homes and buildings that were, you know, a couple hundred years old, and they built a good foundation, and, you know, they're still pretty solid. But, you know, foundations can be messed with. You know, we think about it, there can be a catastrophe. There's, you know, if there's an earthquake, which we don't have around here much, but, you know, an earthquake can destroy a foundation. It can, you know, a flood can rip out a, you know, rip up a foundation, or maybe it's even by slow erosion. You know, if you have something that just slowly trickles at that, maybe it was a stream of water would trickle and ruin your foundation, your building. It can also be affected by someone messing with it. You know, someone digging around it too close, or maybe, you know, drilling holes in it, or, you know, hammering it with a jackhammer or something like that. You know, you can destroy a building by doing that. And, you know, in a sense, our country is being messed with, if you will. It's being eroded. And, you know, I gave a message on this passage some years ago, and it's interesting when I look at the things that I wrote down about the things that bothered me back then that were happening, you know, and then it just seems like the list got longer since those few years since I've done this. But, you know, I just think about my lifetime. You know, when I grew up, and a lot of you guys here remember this, you know, when you went to school, you actually did pray. And you actually read the Bible in school. And, you know, we don't do that anymore. We're not allowed to do that anymore. We're not allowed to even open government meetings with a prayer any longer. You know, we've seen the courts now trying to get rid of the Ten Commandments. You know, any thought of God is being just completely wiped out. And that's sad. I got a letter the other day. Maybe your church got the letter too. Other people, other churches, from some guy. It's the Something United for the Separation of Church and State. I don't know why he sent this to me, but it was basically a threatening letter that says, you know, as pastors, we're not allowed to speak, you know, endorse candidates from the pulpit and by law and, you know, by man's law. And then also beyond that, you know, you're not even allowed to put out any kind of a guide for people that says, you know, these are the issues that we're facing. This is how this candidate stands on an issue. So you're not even allowed to do that. So there's a kind of a threatening letter, you know, that you'd be basically they could come after you. And I'm thinking, this guy has an REV in front of his name, too. He's a reverend, and, you know, it's hard to believe. It's hard to fathom. And so Bible and prayer is out of school. You know, evolution has become the prominent view of creation or the origin of man. You know, we have legalized abortion up even to the point where a baby is just about ready to be born. You know, divorce is made easy these days. You know, there's no-fault divorce, they call it. Like, you know, yep, you want it? Just go ahead. There's no problem. you know, sexual promiscuity is everywhere. We just had a ministerial council down in North Carolina a couple weeks ago, and the whole session was talking about sexual issues. And, you know, they're saying, you know, this is something we need to start speaking more about. And because it's so, some of people were calling it a crisis, some of the things that are going on with sexual issues. So, you know, and they're probably right. It's something we probably all are a little, you know, hesitant to talk about, maybe especially from a pulpit, but it's, you know, it's biblical. It's biblical things. But it's, you know, it's gotten so out of hand, you know, what people believe for our sexual issues anymore, with homosexuality and, you know, all kinds of stuff. And, you know, when I was a kid, if people lived together, you know, today that's just normal. But back then, that was called shacking up. It was looked down on. You were, you know, it was, you know, people were shamed for doing that. So it's completely different society, different culture. And even more recently, we're starting to see this idea of that, you know, people don't want you to speak your mind, you know, the freedom of speech. Now that's really concerning to me because, you know, we live in a place where you're still allowed to preach the gospel freely. I don't think we do it enough. We're not bold enough, I don't believe, but we should be, because, but that freedom seems to be disappearing. You know, they're starting to take that away. There's this political correctness, and, you know, now they talk about, you know, the First Amendment to our Constitution in the United States, and I don't want to go into a constitutional thing. We're speaking about the Bible, but it's, you know, it says freedom of speech, and it says the freedom of religion. But people talk today about you're free to worship. They talk about the freedom of worship. It's not what it said. You know, freedom of worship, everybody worships, whether you worship money or whether you worship idols of some, you know, entertainment or sports or whatever it is. But, you know, they say, well, you're free to do that. But freedom of religion, they don't want to talk about that. That's the idea that we believe in a God who has a plan of salvation and that, you know, involves Jesus Christ, and we want to talk about him. No, no, wait a minute. You can't do that. And it's coming. Unfortunately, it's coming. Someone once said we have four things that may happen. One of these four events will soon take place. They said, number one, we may have a revolution, and that's being destroyed from within. We can sort of see that. You know, a lot of people are really, you know, we're not united anymore, you know. You think back to the Civil War. I was thinking about that when Rick was playing the Battle Hymn of the Republic. But think of the Civil War, you know, and Abraham Lincoln even said, a house divided against itself will fall. And that's a definite biblical principle. But, you know, now we're at each other. You know, Christians are against, you know, what other things are going on. And we're being destroyed from within, in a sense, by revolution. There's all kinds of revolutions going on. The second thing that may happen is that we may face ruin being destroyed from outside. So that's a possibility. It doesn't seem as possible as number one. Number three, there could be a revival. The third R, you know, we will all repent and turn to God. And the fourth one is that, as Brian mentioned, Jesus will come back, you know. And so you have the return of Christ. So you have four R's. You can either have revolution, ruin, revival, or return. I like three and four, personally. I hope there's a revival. You know, I'd like to see that. You know, even better yet is to have Jesus return, you know, really quickly. But, you know, most likely, you know, nations just don't last. It's likely number one. And I think in a sense, you know, as much as we want, you know, our children and our grandchildren to grow up, I really worry about this. You know, my grandchildren especially now, they're going to grow up in a society that's completely different than when I grew up in. And I worry about that. And, you know, what will they face? So it's, you know, it's a difficult thing to think about. It's just like an axe, somebody chipping away at a tree. You know, you keep chipping away and chipping away and chipping away, and finally the tree falls over. You know, it's like the wicked have aimed their arrows at us, and, you know, at the upright in heart. And, you know, we're facing this persecution and we're facing slander. And, you know, the question again, should we flee? You know, I think about that at times. I talk with Mary, I said, we ought to just pack up and move to the middle of Kansas somewhere where it's completely remote, build a house, and just live off the land and just, you know, live like that. You know, is that, you know, well, David counseled against that, yeah. So, you know, maybe we ought to go together, huh, build a city or something. But no, I'm just kidding. But, you know, that's not, you know, there's a time to flee. There is a time to flee. But there's a time, I don't know that God, you know, I would go if God told me to go, but he hasn't told me yet. So, but, you know, so that can happen in a nation. It can happen personally. You know, so how many times have the things that you've built on crumbled? you know, to bring it even more personal. You know, this, in that scripture in 1 Corinthians, it talks about building on, you know, precious things like gold or silver, you know, things that are, you know, good and solid. Or you build on wood, hay, or stubble, which, you know, when he says you tries you by fire, you know, that kind of stuff burns up, you know. And, you know, I ask myself that sometimes, because sometimes, you know, things just don't work out in life the way you thought. And I thought, okay, did I build on, what did I build on, you know? Did I see something on, was there something in my life that I, you know, didn't work out? And I'm thinking, okay, what did I build on, wood, hay, and stubble? You know, did we do something for personal glory or because it was based on a lie or, you know, maybe because it was a personal satisfaction or, you know, maybe it was over, you know, something that was economic and, you know, based on the world's values or your friends or something of that sort, something that's not really a something that you would build on. So we ask ourselves that questions at times. And again, what can the righteous do? That's a good question. You know, Brian started out with Mark chapter 8, and I've kind of got a list at home. Every time I find one of these good, I call them questions of the Bible, but that's one of them. Who do you say I am? It's one of the important questions we have to ask ourselves. And, you know, this is one of them too. You know, what do the righteous do? What can the righteous do when the foundations are being shaken? Well, fortunately, David gives us the answer. You know, if you look there in chapter verse 4 again, he said, "The Lord is in his holy temple. The Lord is on his heavenly throne." God is still God. You know, despite everything that we may see coming, facing, whether personally or as a nation, you know, God is still God. God is still on his throne. He has not changed. He hasn't moved locations. He didn't move somewhere and didn't forward his address or something like that. It's, you know, he's still where he said he has always been. He hasn't stepped down off his throne to abdicate it to someone else. He is still in charge. He is still ultimately in control. And God is still speaking today. God speaks through this word. When we read it, God speaks to us. God uses us, you know, the voice of his servants to speak. So God is still speaking. He's still there. He's still involved. He's still, you know, on his throne, and he's still reaching out to people. And, you know, so we know God's still there. And we can speak to him as well as he speaks to us through prayer. So he's there. He has a plan, this plan of salvation, which one of the days we're celebrating today when Jesus does return. You know, this begins with the gospel, the good news that Jesus Christ has saved sinners. You know, in Romans chapter 1, it says, you know, Paul said he was not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation. You know, God's still on his throne. He's still powerful. He's still reaching people. He's still saving people. He is the foundation, and he will not be shaken. You know, David had ultimate confidence in God. You know, even though things may have been crumbling around him, he said, you know, in the Lord I take refuge. You know, why would you even say this to me? Why should we run? Why do we do that? We shouldn't do that. You know, God's on the throne. He's still there. He's still in charge. God loves us. He won't leave us. He won't forsake us. You know, we need to trust him. And so good advice for us. You know, sometimes when everything seems to be crumbling around you, you know, if you can just fix your eyes on Jesus, as the says in Hebrews, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross. You know, we may have to endure some things, but we need to look ahead and know that there's a God in heaven who's got our best interests at heart. David goes on to say he sees everything. You know, he sits on the throne and he is watching. It says his eyes examine, or he observes the Son of Man, and his eyes examine them, and the Lord examines the righteous. You know, it's, I think in the King James, it says something about the eyelids. I think, you know, it's the idea that, you know, when you want to look at something really intently, you kind of squint your eyes, and I think it has that kind of connotation, you know, that God is really focused in. He's looking at us, and he obviously cares about us, and he wants to see what's going on. So he's examining us closely, and, you know, he knows what's going on. He knows what's going on in the world. You know, it's all going to culminate when Jesus returns. And, you know, it says that in the NIV, which I'm reading, it says about that he examines the righteous, and probably a better, I think the King James talks about he tries, and that's probably a better translation, but he tests us. You know, it's kind of like this idea of that you, the way they test metals to see how pure they are. That's the idea. He does that to us too. You know, sometimes we have to face things just so God can see how we're doing. He doesn't do it to be punitive. He doesn't do it to be, you know, to make our life miserable. He doesn't do it to, you know, he doesn't do it to a point where we're something we can't handle. But he wants us to grow. You know, and through those things we grow and we learn to trust him more. You know, he's, perhaps it's even a test to see what we build on. You know, what kind of foundation have we built on? And to see how we react to society's problems. You know, how are we going to react to all these things we see going on? You know, he is our refuge and our strength, our ever-present help in the time of troubles, it says in Psalm 46. He certainly wants to move us to trust him more and to, you know, count on him being on his throne. He also, in the last part of this, David says, even though he sees all this stuff and God's on the throne and, you know, people are attacking you and things seem to be going downhill, you know, God sees what's going on in that regard too. He sees the wicked as well. And it says he's going to send retribution. You know, there's going to be destruction. He's going to punish sin and he'll punish unrepentant sinners. You know, there's a time when that's going to come to an end and we can look forward to that. You know, if God didn't do that, you know, it says that he's a holy God. He can't stand sin. He's not going to put up with that. At some point, he's going to put an end to it. So he's going to destroy. You know, hopefully not many people will be destroyed, but, you know, it says that there will be fiery coals. It kind of reminds you of, and burning sulfur kind of reminds you of Sodom and Gomorrah, a city that was so wicked and would not repent. And God destroyed them. Well, sometimes we think this will never happen. You know, sometimes we just go on and say, boy, you know, oh, Lord, come, Lord Jesus. And, you know, sometimes we can even maybe be envious of the wicked. You know, like it says in Psalm 75, it says about, Psalm 73, where I think it's Asaph says that, you know, he saw, you know, all the blessings that the wicked were enjoying. But then, you know, he's like, he says, my foot almost slipped. And then he said, all of a sudden he got to remembering or seeing that the wicked are going to be judged. And so we have to remember that. We have to know that the Lord is righteous and he loves justice, as it says here in Psalm 11, verse 7. Well, David said in verse 1, I am in the Lord, I take my refuge, and he is the only foundation that will never be destroyed. And as we read in 1 Corinthians 3, you know, Jesus is the foundation for us to build on. He loves us. He died for us. You know, he has a plan for us, a wonderful plan. You know, and at some point, God's going to sound the trumpet and Jesus is going to return to the earth. And, you know, as it says here in Psalm 11, it says, upright men will see his face. And we know that from the scriptures. It says, we don't know what we'll be like, but we'll be like him and we'll see him face to face. You know, so we have that promise, and that's a good thing to look forward to. When all the foundations are be shaken, you know, we can count on God, who's not shaken. We will never be shaken. There's a song we sing sometimes at church. It's called "I Shall Not Be Moved." I don't know if you sing that in your congregations, but you know, it's kind of a catchy tune. But it just goes on and on. I shall not be moved. I shall not be moved, like a tree that's planted by the waters. I shall not be moved. Over and over and over, and you know, it's kind of repetitious, but it brings a point home that, you know, we will not be moved if we're built on the right foundation. Maybe everything around us is crumbling, and maybe I'm being a little bit too negative, but the gospel is powerful, and you know, good news is abounds, that's for sure. But I can't help but thinking, you know, things are going downhill for us as a nation. But in spite of that, we need to take refuge in the rock of our salvation. You know, David asked, you know, these people were asking David, I think, he says, what can the righteous do? And maybe the response we should say in this way is, with God as our foundation, what can't we do? So thank you for the opportunity to speak, and let's hang on to the rock of our salvation and be anchored in him, because when the foundations are being destroyed, that's what the righteous do. Thank you.